Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. As we continue the sermon series of being sojourners, people of faith, heading to the promised land, we're just not there yet. It's a great joy to celebrate baptism, see two young guys that have followed the Lord with that practice of faith, Remington and Wyatt, so encouraging for you guys to take that step. And also, at the end of the service today, we get to pray for two other young men as they follow the Lord Jesus. They're graduating high school. We get to bless them in a moment. But for the reading of God's Word, we want to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is built on the premise of Christ as our cornerstone. He's the one that has authored salvation and give it to us. And salvation is a past, a present, and a future. God has saved us, He is saving us, and we will be saved. We'll cash in our salvation when we stand before God the Father in heaven one day. Now, last week we covered verses in chapter 2 that we're going to cover again. And last week I tried to present the theological perspective of God and Christ, our cornerstone. Today will be more man-focused. This will be the most seeker-sensitive sermon you ever hear from me. We want to focus on us. As the title of the message says, the honor is for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start in verse number 4, and we're going to read through verse number 10. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The honor is for you. Now understand, this is based upon Jesus being the cornerstone, the immovable, indestructible God. But if you look at the benefits in these verses, the honor is for you, the believer. And I'm going to give you four reasons why the honor falls to us. Four reasons the honor falls to believers, falls to you. The first reason the honor falls to us is because the Lord calls to us. The Lord calls to us. In verse 4, it says, as you come to Him. We can't come to God the Father without the calling of God. In a general sense, in a natural sense, we see the evidence of God. We can see creation. We know there's a creator. The psalmist said, the heavens declare that there is a God. Even within our souls, we know there's something beyond us. So in a general sense, the calling of God is we know that there's a God. But then a greater specific calling, we are called to God for salvation. When we learn about God, we know that He's perfect, that we are sinners, fallen short of that perfection. But yet, God calls to us and wants to receive us. He invites us to come to Him. There was a time in our lives when we were not with the Lord. We were separate. We were distant. But the Lord called to us. How did He call to us? by grace. He called to us by grace. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So the honor falls to us because the Lord calls to us or is calling to us in a present active sense. When we say the word call, immediately we think of a phone call. We think of something short-term, no strings attached, no substance. For instance, I received a phone call about my vehicle's warranty. I don't know if you've ever gotten that call. I entered a contest to win a free gift certificate or a free gift card. You know what happened? I got a phone call. I'm just warning you, if you go to a home improvement store and they say there's no strings attached, we're entering a drawing to win a gift card, there's something to it. But understand, when the calling of God comes to us, it's something so much more than a conversation. It's an invitation. A few weeks ago, my firstborn, he's 13, we watched a portion of the NFL draft, the National Football League. We love to watch that. We love watching college players go to the professional leagues, the professional ranks. And if you've watched that in the green room, there are high caliber athletes that are going to be drafted, going to be picked, usually in the first round of selection. And I love it when the camera is focused on an athlete. In a team, most often the general manager, here's what they do. They call that athlete. And you can watch the video of this player picking up his phone. He has a stern look on his face, but then he receives the call, "We want you, we're drafting you. Will you come and be a part of the team?" In a sense, that is what God is doing when he calls to us. He says, "I'm calling to you. I want you to be a part of the team. I want you to come be a part of this brotherhood, this fraternity, this fellowship. I'm calling you. I'm inviting you. I want you. I see something in you you may not even see yet, but I want you." The honor falls to you, the first of which is the Lord calling to us. If we go back to the text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The second reason the honor falls to us in this matter of salvation and God being the cornerstone, the second reason is the Lord gives us life. The Lord gives us life. So not only does the Lord call to us, but the Lord gives us life. We did not come alive spiritually until Christ came into our life and made us new. Until that moment, you were dead spiritually, and Jesus, the cornerstone, remade you or rebirthed you and gave you life. He gave his life so that you could live. Now, up until that point, you were spiritually dead. There was nothing good in and of you. You were separate from God, distant, an enemy. But then, God gave you life. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Without him, we have no energy, we have no power, we have no facility, we have nothing." One of the first places my wife and I moved to was a house that had no electricity. In fact, we had no electrical wires and connectors from the main energy source. And I said, how are we going to do this? And so I asked one of the guys in the church, how am I going to do this? And what's the cheapest way I can do it? He said, if you go buy the wires, I can hook up your house. And now that I say that out loud, it may have been illegal. I don't know. Things were different in South Arkansas. He says, just get the stuff. So I went and bought the stuff, brought everything, and he hooked it up. So before, our house was dark, no appliances would work. HVAC system was not operational, nothing. It's complete darkness. But when the connectors were hooked up and he flipped the switch, everything came on, everything worked. And there's a drastic difference between dark and light, death and life. The honor falls to you because the Lord gave you life and is giving you life. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, also verses 4 and 5, I know you're thinking, Pastor, you're wearing those verses out. I know, and I love it. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord calls to us. The Lord is making us alive. And number three, the Lord builds us. Or perhaps the grammatical way to say it is the Lord is building us. God has never stopped working on you and I. So the moment we're saved, he begins the building process of our lives. He never stops until we are complete in our salvation. We stand before God in heaven. So from the moment of rebirth, when you accept Christ, when you come alive spiritually, from that moment till your last breath on earth, view yourselves as a work in progress. So God is not satisfied with you as you are. He wants to make you better. He's continually working on your heart. You are a continuous construction zone. Always. Now this is best described in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 6, about the Lord building us or continually working on us. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So the honor falls to us that the Lord is building us. Let me tell you two ways in which the Lord is building us. The first is strengthening us. The second is qualifying us. How is he strengthening us, you ask? Well, thanks for asking. We are living stones. We were dead, as all stones are, dormant. There's no life in stones. But Jesus, the living stone, the cornerstone, gave life to us. Now we are living stones, being built up into a spiritual house, a place of worship. And I believe there's a connection with this, with the temple of old. You think, well, that's where the worship is. That's where all this consecration was. But now that is residing in us, that he is building us into this great spiritual house, we the living stones. No longer is it in the temple. It's in the new covenant of Christ. It's a new manner of worship, because of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is strengthening us. Now, understand that this is written in the context of church. He didn't say, I'm building you into a living stone. The only stone that's by itself is Christ. So when he's building the living stones into a new spiritual house of worship, he is referring to the church, that we need each other, we depend on each other, and we're in the process together strengthening ourselves. Not only that, not only does he strengthen us, he qualifies us. He says you're living stones built into a spiritual house, but then he says you're part of the priesthood. And some of you are thinking, uh-oh, I didn't sign up to be a priest. Neither did I. But here we are. Scripture says, consider yourselves priests. Now, there is a great disconnect between 1 Peter 2 and the Old Testament on this point, because if you talk about priesthood, I would dare say we do not qualify. Now, think back of Aaron of the Old Testament. You got to be a part of the family, the genealogical descent. Not only that, you got to have the right garments. You got to have the right stuff, resources in worship. You got to handle yourselves right. There are certain things you can't eat, certain places you can't visit, certain people you can't be with. And also the severity of the priesthood. You offer unauthorized fire or strange incense. Guess what? God didn't need you in the priesthood. But here is a great difference in 1 Peter 2 versus the Old Testament. All the qualifications we cannot meet are found in the person of Christ. His perfection, hear me, qualifies us for the priesthood. Now, I wrestled with the calling of God on my life for years. In my latter years of high school, I really wrestled with God. Do you want me to serve you in ministry? And I'm the first, and I still tell you, I don't want to be a pastor. And here I am. I was like, I don't like those guys. They're dull. And in my freshman year of college, talking with a friend who'd already surrendered ministry, serving in a church, and I was like, man, I don't know enough. I don't handle myself the right way. There's no way I want to do this. And I said, I'm not qualified. He said, that's great, because God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You say, I cannot be in the same fashion a representative of Christ, much like a priest. You say, I'm not qualified. Guess what? Christ makes you qualified. And by the way, what it says for the priests, you just got to represent God. That's all it is. Now later it'll say, proclaim the excellencies of Christ in the latter verses. Things are different now. We're being built up as living stones into a house, qualified into the priesthood. Things are different. We represent God. There's no mediator anymore. It's us through Christ to God. Now let me give you the fourth reason, and perhaps the greatest of the points. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you, remember the honor falls to you, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The fourth reason, the honor falls to you because of the cornerstone. The Lord makes you a priority. That sounds heretical, doesn't it? We're all about God and his glory, but here, the Lord makes you his priority. The benefit of these verses, the honor falls to you, the believer. It says in verse 7, so the honor is for you who believes. This is how God describes you. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself or what others think about you, what the world thinks about you. Here's what Christ says about you. You're a chosen race. He chose you. That's where we get the word elect. He says concerning you, concerning us, royal priesthood, holy nation, people of his own possession. Now, just in those descriptive terms, we would say that sounds like Israel in the Old Testament, the God who fought for his people. Yes, it's true, but now through the new covenant, it's us. The honor falls to us because of the cornerstone. Believers are now set apart, and I believe we're elevated to a sense of greatness. Now, the blessing, the honor falls to us. So why do we get put in this position as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people? I believe so we can proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into light. So as a priest, I'm not qualified to give you priestly instructions, but here we are. As a priest, here's what you have to do. Proclaim his excellence. You say, okay, Pastor, I might be able to do that, but tell me what to say. I got you. Tell people you were once in darkness and now you're in light. Boom, you're all qualified. It doesn't count as ordination, by the way, but you're qualified now as priest of the living God to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of dark into marvelous light. You're set apart, you're elevated. The honor falls to you. And when the honor falls to you, nothing can take that away. Nothing. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and following. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The honor falls to you, and no one, not even yourself, can take it away because of the cornerstone laid it upon you. The Lord has made you a priority. A change occurred. We're now God's people. We used to be wandering and lost, but now we are God's possession. Now, Scripture says, we have received mercy. You say, well, Pastor, how does God make us a priority? Let me describe that or answer that in two words, chosen and precious. Now, in these verses, it talks about the cornerstone. Twice, Peter mentions Christ, the cornerstone, being chosen and precious. Twice, also alluding to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28. Chosen and precious. If you take the verses of the cornerstone and just move them to the side and strictly read the verses concerning us, we could describe the priority of God in us, chosen and precious. He used the word chosen. He says, you are a chosen people. You're a people of his own choosing. You're a people of his own possession. You are chosen. That's the same descriptive terms in the Greek about salvation. He chose you. Not only that, he says, concerning Christ, the cornerstone, he is precious. That means most prized, most cherished. Whenever I visited a new family, whenever they have given birth to a child, they always ask me, usually it's about a girl, they say, Pastor, isn't she precious? And I will say, yes, she is cherished, she is most prized. The same way God the Father views his Son, chosen and precious, is the same way he views us in Christ. Same words, same description. Chosen and precious. So the honor falls to you. The Lord has made you a priority. Now listen to this. You, in the sight of God, are chosen and precious. Set apart, elevated, blessed and honored. You are chosen and precious in the sight of God based upon Christ. I said, Pastor, how can this be? How can we, wretched sinners, be set apart and elevated? How is it the honor falls to us? I believe it's because Christ took our dishonor upon himself so that we could receive honor. It says in Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The peace of our chastisement was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why are we honored? Because Christ was dishonored. Christ gave his life so that we could have life. He embraced the darkness of our sin so that we could be in his marvelous light. The honor is for you who believe. I don't know how God is working in your life. If he's opened up your heart to receive him, maybe you've never accepted Christ. It's so easy. All you got to do is believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that God raised him from the dead. Accept him, receive him. Scripture says that you will be saved. You'll be different. You'll be changed. You'll come alive. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've made that decision. There's other decisions like baptism, or like first service, where a family join as members. Maybe there's some decisions you've put off. Maybe, church family and guests, maybe there's a prayer you need to pray in our time of response. Maybe there's someone you need to encourage. Maybe it's time to reflect on your position to God in Christ. Maybe you just need to hear the words from God's counsel that you are chosen and precious. Whatever it is, if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, if you need to make a decision, we have time before us to pray, to make decisions. The honor is for you. Father, we thank you for Christ, our cornerstone. We thank you for the work of salvation that gives us life, that calls us from darkness. And Father, if that is not a reality, may someone simply profess faith in their hearts today. May they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. Father, if there are decisions we need to make, Lord, if someone just needs to come and talk to you right where they're at in their seat, Lord, would you embolden them to pray that prayer they've been putting off? For those that need to extend forgiveness or receive it, Lord, may they do that. Lord, for the one or for the many who do not feel they measure up, they feel beat down, Father, may your word remind them that they are chosen and precious. Father, we ask your blessing in Christ upon our time, upon our hearts, and upon our decisions. Father, may we receive encouragement. May we find refreshment within worship today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.